You are listening to the strongest podcast in CrossFit. This is the Type 1 Lifting Podcast. All right, guys, I want to tell you a little bit about Type 1 Lifting. So Type 1 Lifting is a clothing brand that proceeds of the shirts, the hats, and everything else go to the Children's Diabetes Foundation. This whole t-shirt company started from me taking care of a five-year-old girl from the emergency department at the Children's Hospital I worked at in Atlanta for a while back. I thought I needed to do a little bit more than kind of just talk about my story. So this is how I started the clothing line, because I wanted to show people that even though diabetics have this really bad disease, we can still do amazing things in our life, and diabetes won't stop, you know, stop us reaching our goals. So go check out type1lifting.com. And, you know, if you have any questions, you can always reach me out on Instagram. It's type1lifting, and hope you guys enjoy the show. Hey guys, we have a new sponsor for the Type 1 Lifting podcast. The company's called Liberté Lifestyle. So Liberté is a French word meaning freedom, and the company was founded on the desire to have freedom to choose what we want to do with our lives. I actually had the owner, Nicole, on my podcast on episode 28, so if you want to go back and listen to her, she talks about how she started the company and what she wants to do in the future with the company, which is pretty cool. So they actually have knee sleeves, wrist wraps, shirts, shorts. Love the knee sleeves. I have the ice cream knee sleeves, and I love them so much. They haven't, the neoprene's still good. The seams haven't split compared to other knee sleeves that I have had in the past, and I'm planning to keep these for a very, very long time. So Nicole actually gave me a promo code for you guys too. So it's all capital letters, T-Y-P-E, and the number one. So it's type one. So go to libertelifestyle.com, check out what they have in the store, use the promo code type one, and save some coin. Now let's go to the episode. All right, guys, welcome to a new episode of the Type 1 Lifting Podcast. I have a returning guest. Actually, she hasn't been on the show for over a year, which is crazy to think that. Paige Smenza, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm doing well. Tom, how are you?
No complaints. I know we were just talking before the podcast of like what's kind of going on and like AI, ChatGPT, and all that stuff. but yeah, it's kind of crazy to think like I haven't that podcast I did with you was like a year ago, and you know, a lot has changed a little bit, but I do want to talk about Wadapalooza a little bit before anything. So, cause I know you went individual and you did team as well.
Yeah. So that was kind of when they first announced that, I was right away super interested in going individual again. Mm-hmm. And then they announced the team, and I was like the first person I thought of was Caroline. I'm like, why don't we go down as a team? And cause she was considering not doing individual, and well, I was like, well, let's go have some fun. So our original plan was to have Kelly Clark, so all now known as Kelly,
yeah,
to try to, because you know, she's been following Misfit. She was with working with Hunter all last year. So we're like, well, let's get to know her. Let's just go have some fun. A couple of Misfits, and she was going through like a little bit of a nagging injury that she was trying to rehab, and didn't want to risk anything at Wadapalooza. So. Mm-hmm. We got like a older Misfit at the time, Erin O'Donnell. So she ended up coming on the team with us pretty last minute. So we were super lucky, and Erin's awesome to be around. So we had a lot of fun at Wadapalooza.
Yeah.
In having teams of three be, you know, a ton of games level athletes and veterans in the sport. Like it was competitive for sure. Mm-hmm. But it was fun to be up in the top 10 with everybody and, you know, just kind of shoot the shit, so to speak, right? Like, just, you know, compete, have some fun, and have, like, no pressure, no strings attached.
Yeah. So do you like the way they do it now for, like, the 2 days for individual and 2 days team?
I won't do that again.
I was going to ask that.
Yeah, it was way too much volume for me. The amount of, like, squatting and just the movements program that the workouts were, just the programming in general, was just a little too much volume for 2 days. And especially because, like, you know, you have $75,000 on the line and you're splitting it up between 2 days instead of like over the length of a weekend where you can really test overall fitness. I didn't love that about it, but I think for the team aspect of it, you know, you take the pressure off these athletes and let them have fun. And for a lot of them, that's, you know, you can really see some true potential come out, and give the fans, you know, a great spectating show to be at. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if, like, I love going down to Wodapalooza. I love the weather. I hate the unpredictability of the weather, yeah, and how it can just like change the schedule up so quickly. Mm-hmm. But I'm not really sure if I'm going to go again next year. I've done it a few times and, you know, I kind of want to travel a little bit more. So we'll see, you know, what's in the cards for next year, but there's kind of one step at a time right now. So semifinals is obviously the only thing in my like line of sight right now.
Yeah. So when you're down at Wodapalooza, how does it work? Do you kind of like get your own room, or do you like, you know, have a bunch of people with you to kind of hang out and like, you know, feeding too is like, how does that all work?
Yeah. So this year actually was a ton of fun. Jen with Misfit found this penthouse that had 4 bedrooms. So it was myself and Ben, my boyfriend, and then Aaron and her boyfriend. Caroline came down by herself this year, and then Drew, our coach, came. So we each had our own room in this like awesome penthouse. It was part of a Hilton hotel.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, so we like, that was perfect. If I could have my own room, my own like bathroom, yeah, and then there's just a giant kitchen. Like I love having a little bit of privacy, but then also people to just kind of like ease the tension of competing. So, I very much like that. Like that is perfect for me. Being in a hotel room by myself, I don't love that as much. As if there's a kitchen, I'm okay. But it's always nice to have people around, because it just, you know, you lose the tension, you laugh, you goof around and whatnot. So even with going down to semis this year, like I'll stay with my parents, and then there's 2 other people coming down, staying with us, but we each have like our own bedroom, bathroom, and just a way to, you know, when it's time to go to bed, I can get away and have my privacy.
Yeah. So does Ben snore?
He does not. No, I'm pretty lucky.
You are very lucky.
Yeah. Well, he sleeps like a rock too. So his work schedule, he is up at 4:30 every morning, like clockwork. He'll get up, shower, eat breakfast, and then he's at work by 6 a.m. Ideally, like in a perfect world, he gets home at 6, but a lot of times it's pushed back to 6:30 or 7. So he works really long days, and I'm sure that they're, you know, really long, hard days. Mm-hmm. So when it comes time to going to bed, he sleeps like a rock, and he doesn't like move. He doesn't like, he's not a heavy breather. He sleeps.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, I had 2 deviated septums that got them fixed. Gosh. And I still snore so bad. Like the ENT doctor was like, yeah, you might need the Inspire.
Like that.
So it's like this, like, it's a computer, like it's a square. It's, I don't know, probably like the size of this mouse or something like that, that goes on your chest. And there's one wire that goes in the muscle of your chest, and the other one wraps around the nerve around where your tongue is. Because I guess what happens is when you snore, your tongue relaxes and it falls back, and that's when you snore. Yeah. So the nerve that goes around that causes that, it's an electrical stimulation to push the tongue forward. And so literally like you'll have that thing in your chest, and then you'll have this, like, it's almost like a remote control, and you just like press it over your chest, and it just turns on, and you have like, it's like a 10-year, I think it's a 10-year like battery life on the thing.
Jesus. That does not sound fun.
Yeah, I don't have it. I have enough gear on me already for my like glucometer and all that stuff. I'm like even the ENT said, listen, if you get this, it will show on your chest. Like there will be a piece of it. Like it will stick out.
Like, wow.
Yeah. And so
you just have like this little square box in your chest.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
And so my wife's like, I don't know if I like that. And I'm like, okay, well, I mean, so I literally sleep in the spare bedroom because I snore so bad. It's like, even on
vacation. Not even plugs can help her out?
No, it doesn't even work. Like, so what I use, if we go out on a trip, it's usually, I put mouth tape on, and like literally I have to be clean shaven. I have to put a mouth tape on that covers the whole mouth, and then a nose strip. And like what? And,
so
and
you
not,
can breathe.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not like the typical like small ones. It's the extra strength ones, which is just like almost like your full size of your nose, just to try to like, you know, open up your whole, you know, nasal cavity.
You probably are a great sight when you're sleeping. It probably looks really good.
Oh, it's even better when I wear a night mask, because when I used to work. So I used to work nights at the hospital, and so I would sleep and I didn't have anything to cover my face, because like the sun was rising like right where the window is.
Yeah.
And so I started wearing t-shirts, and then my wife gave me these night masks, and I can't take them off now.
Yeah. Is it like the one, I forget the brand of it. It's like, is it like memory foam? And then it has like two eye circles. Yeah.
Yep.
I think it
sticks out.
Yeah. I remember Drew had mentioned that one like way back on a podcast a while ago. And I was like, I'm buying that because it sounds fantastic. And I have that same exact one, and it's awesome. Like, it's so comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then like earlier on when I think when we first moved to Georgia, I had like really bad eczema in my hands. And so I had to wear gloves at night too. And so like literally I was just an absolute mess.
Puppet.
I was just I was messing around. Like I had like the nose strip, the mouth tape, and like the eye, you know, the mask, and then I had the gloves. And so I crossed my hands like I was dead. I was like,
like a mummy.
Yeah, pretty
my
much.
My gosh.
Yeah. And my wife took a picture and just posted it on like social media. And I'm like, thanks. Like, thanks.
You gotta embrace it.
Oh, I don't care. Whatever. But you know, it's just, you know, it is what it is. So speaking about sleeping, so do you have any like sleeping rituals that you do at all, or?
Not really. We don't really watch TV in our bedroom. We don't do anything like that. Like, we won't even put movies on up there. So like the bedroom is pretty much just for sleeping. I'll read before bed sometimes, not all the time. But we like usually are just pretty like spent by the end of the day. And it's like, I don't really have trouble falling asleep very often. So nothing like, I don't drink Beam every night. I'm not like, you know, into all that.
Yeah.
I have it, but it's just not, I don't know. It's just sometimes I feel more restless when I drink Beam. So I've tried playing around with that, and I stopped actually a little while ago because I was like consistently feeling restless. And I was like, this doesn't seem to be doing what it's supposed to do for me. So I just kind of stopped doing that. But no, like we get home by the time Ben gets home and we have dinner, it's like 8:30. We'll maybe watch a little bit of a TV show and then we try to get up to bed. So it's kind of nice that he has to be up early because he'll want to go to bed earlier. Mm-hmm. So for me, if I'm in bed by 9 and I can get a full 8 to 9 hours in bed, like that's perfect, especially right now with how high volume is and all that. So, yeah, it's not too much of a routine really, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I get up at 4 to go train at the gym. So yeah,
I don't know how you guys do it.
And I go to bed at 10. So it's like 6. I have no choice. And like, granted, like I'm not really doing high volume stuff because I'm on the Hatchet program. So it's a little bit different.
Yeah,
so,
you get to choose.
Yeah, I get to pick and choose. I did the so if anybody doesn't know the Misfit program, so they have like, you know, the Elite, you know, Hatchet, and then like Masters, and then like what is it, like Misfit Anywhere, pretty much on the app.
I don't really know if we use that very much anymore though.
Yeah.
I think they kind of got rid of that and we'll just add some modifications into like the Hatchet program.
Yeah. And so this one, like you could pick like three to four workouts for like your session at the gym. And it could be like endurance, it could be strength, it could be all around. And so I picked the all around because I need help all around. So except for like lifting heavy, but it's definitely a good pro. If anybody hasn't tried it yet, they should definitely try Misfit. So
yeah, I'm not biased or anything, but they are very, very well-rounded in the programming. And obviously, you know, I've been with them since 2018, so something's working.
Yeah. And I know you're a coach there, because I think Vic is one of your clients.
Yep. He's one of my athletes. I have 3 athletes right now that I work with.
Nice.
So go ahead.
So what is it like training with having Vic as a, you know, athlete for you?
So like, obviously I have the athlete side of it, right? I coach in an affiliate So I coach people in person all the time. But I wouldn't really say I coach anybody in person that is like pursuing this as wanting to get to semifinals or get to the games. So like starting off as a remote coach was a bit of a learning curve, and he was my first. So, you know, he's kind of been along for that ride as well. And like, we have a really good like rapport with each other. We have a good relationship, you know, and he puts in the work. Like, the guy shows up and he's fun to work with. He's not afraid to kind of open up and talk about things outside of the gym and inside of the gym. So, you know, we are just continuing to kind of chip away and chip away and chip away. And we've seen a ton of progress. And we actually had a conversation about it actually yesterday. He had sent me a message, you know, that he was talking with someone and they were telling him, like, you know, you're not too far off of, you know, wanting to make that goal happen and wanting to make that dream happen. He's like, what do you think? And I was like, yeah, I think the guy is right. And I think a big part of it for someone like Vic is the belief that he can do it. Because, you know, when you haven't been at that, like when you haven't tasted it yet, you know, your mind can just constantly play tricks on you. You could feel like, you know, putting in the work isn't getting you where you want to go. So I, you know, we kind of want to catch up on that a little bit. We haven't really fully gone back and forth, but it was something that he had messaged me and I was like, it's definitely worth a phone call to talk about. So, you know, it sounded like something kind of sparked in him. And that's exciting for me, because like when you can get an athlete to truly buy in to the programming and kind of trust that process and know that, you know, you are the person kind of leading them and guiding them through. It's a cool feeling. It's rewarding.
Yeah. Yeah. I see his story. I mean, he's part of the podcast too. So,
yeah.
So I watch his stories and he's like, he's a shorter individual compared to me. So, but he can deadlift and squat and like do clean. He can lift some heavy weights. It's impressive.
It is. And it's just, you know, it's the technique side of it now. How do we kind of get all of that dialed in to, you know, transfer over to your clean, transfer over to your snatch? Like, he's built a really good foundation. So, you know, it's just continuing to find those little things that we can be nitpicky about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the progress from when we first started, though, like it's impossible not to see it. So that's what makes me happy, is I see he's still moving in the right direction. And that's the goal.
Yeah. Yeah. So you said you have three athletes that you coach like online. Are you looking to do like any more coaching, or is it kind of like not in your bandwidth right now?
Yeah. So I took on three. I had two before the games last year, and then I took on a third right after the games. And it was kind of like, I want to test the waters and see how many I really can work with. Mm-hmm. Which during the off season and, you know, just kind of getting ready for the open and for quarterfinals, like it was pretty easy. But now that like my training has ramped up, I'm still putting in hours at our gym and coaching. And that, you know, is also another top priority of mine. It's definitely more of a balancing act that I've had to try to kind of figure out. So, because I'm that kind of person that like, if I'm going to do it, like I want to give you all of me, like I want to give you like my 100%. I want to give you the attention that you deserve. And it's hard to do that. And then, you know, give myself the attention that I deserve. So semifinals training, really kind of ramped up. And like, I was talking to Caroline a couple like weeks ago, when she first got back in after team quarterfinals, she's like, so I'm just checking in to see how you're feeling, because I've only done one day and I am wrecked. And I was like, well, I did that one day last week and I've been sore ever since. So yeah. And at that point I was like, you know, I wish, not that I don't love what I do right now, but if I was just focusing on training full time, not coaching, not doing remote coaching, like, that's kind of the attention that the training deserves right now. Mm-hmm. So having to balance it becomes a little stressful, but I wouldn't change it. Like I like having other purpose outside of like solely focusing on something that's for myself, which is training for the CrossFit Games. So that it's more of a motivation for me to work with others and inside the gym and remotely. So I definitely can't not do it. I mean, I can, but I don't know if I would enjoy my own training as much knowing that like I'm solely focused on me.
Yeah.
It's just not the type of personality that I have.
Yeah. So does Ben give you massages like every night since you're so sore all the time?
I wish. I have to go to a professional for those.
Oh, come on, Ben, come on. You need to step it up, man. Sorry.
Hopefully he'll listen in.
Yeah.
He works long days too. He deserves a massage, you know, kick his feet up. So.
Yeah, but, no, but we, it's the lady that's more important.
I'd say we have a pretty good balancing act right now. So, I give him a lot of credit. He works hard at work. We were just talking about it because he's been having a few stressful days. So,
yeah. You know, so what does he do for work?
So he is an electrical engineer by trade.
Okay.
And right now he works at a local laundromat place, like commercial, regional style laundry place. Laundromat. I wouldn't call it a laundromat. Laundry service.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called Dempsey's Linen. It's oh my gosh, why am I drawing a blank? Dempsey Linen is as far as I can get right now because I'm having a brain fart. Dempsey Linen and Uniform. There we go. So he is the manager of the maintenance department there. So you're talking like, you know, obviously you have a washer and dryer at home. You're talking like a thousand times bigger. The size of that.
Yeah.
So the maintenance department is obviously the people that are responsible for keeping the machines up and running and all that good stuff. So he you know, is the manager of that group within the building.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to work with the production side of it too. So making sure that production is getting out and all that. So he's there when they open, when the machines turn on. And he's pretty much like problem solving the rest of the day. Like, I don't think he's had a day. Like, I'll text him in the morning, usually around like 8 o'clock or so. And I probably won't hear back from him until like 2 o'clock when he actually has time to sit down and breathe.
Yeah.
So, he's pretty nonstop there. So he comes home and like, you know, wanting to work out is hard and just finding a routine for that can be tough, but we find ways.
Yeah. You gotta make it work somehow. That's why I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to work out.
Right. Yeah. So. If that were him, he'd be up at like 3 o'clock to work out.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. So my gym is open 24 hours.
Yeah. That's pretty nice.
Yeah. It's like, I usually get there at like 4:30 and there's dudes like already sweating. And I'm like, how long have you been here?
That's like, I mean, I follow The Rock on Instagram and I know he's up. You know, it could be 2 a.m. and he's just getting home and he's like, I got to go in the Iron Paradise. Got to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
We actually have our garage is a fully decked out gym too. Like, if we wanted to make an affiliate, like it is, you know, we're pretty fortunate with all the equipment that we have. It's just sometimes sleep is just way more important, especially for him. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
So, but on the weekends, like he'll train with me for the most part, so he definitely gets his fill in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he gets like the full week just on the weekends.
Yes, exactly. And right now, I was just gonna say, like right now, like weekends are like, so his days off are Sunday and Monday typically. Mm-hmm. And I coach pretty much like the whole morning, like first half of the day on Monday. I have like some classes that are just spread out that take up all that time. But Sunday is like a work day for me. Like I'm training. So like right now for us trying to get out and do things and kind of spend quality time together outside of work is really hard.
Yeah.
Just because, like I said, the volume is a lot, but I mean, right now it's worth it. And the progress that's happening right now, like the adaptations that are happening, like it's hard to, you know, say, no, I'm not going to do this training piece. Let's go out for lunch or something, you know? So, it's just that time of year. And like, we went through it last year. Not that we went through it, like we managed things well. And, it's just a matter of us communicating and making sure that, like, you know, we know what the end goal is here. And we know that at, you know, when that time comes, like all of this work and stress is worth it.
Mm-hmm. So what's your training week like?
So right now we are Tuesday, Wednesday, full on training days, Thursday, active recovery day, usually like a zone two or Maffetone session. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday is more of like a simulation for semis prep. So, mm-hmm. or for when we get to semifinals. And then Monday usually is like a bye feel. Sometimes I'll go swimming. Sometimes I will do something light in the garage. Or sometimes it's another Maffetone session. Like it all kind of depends on the feel. So last week was like hell week for us, but I had a little hiccup in training, so I didn't really get to participate. So this weekend will be, you know, probably a little bit higher volume for me to try to simulate some more of that semifinals feel.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah.
I try to do the Maffetones, but like typically if I sleep in, I don't work out. Like I literally have a Rogue Echo bike, like right, like literally right, like I'm looking right at it. And then I have the Peloton bike, which is like I'm looking right at it too. And it's just like, I can just like go like on a phone call and just like go on like, you know, a zone two or like talk like, or just like do my recruiting job like on it. But I'm like,
Yeah, no, I totally get that. I mean, yeah. Like, I feel like when you are consistently waking up at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m., like, you are on those days. And, like, when you get to get that little bit of sleeping in, you're like, you know, that's kind of some leisure time for you.
Yeah, I mean, there's been times I go to bed at 10 and I wake up at, like, 9.
That sounds awesome. Yeah. I do that, too.
Yeah, and I'm like, I feel so bad. Like, the kids are, like, up. My son's up at, like, 6, and he plays, like, so he goes over to, like, a room to play video games or like does whatever goes on his iPad. And then my daughter wakes up at like 8:30, 9 o'clock. But like, typically if it's like a Monday through Friday, she wakes up at like 8:30. And okay. So we're just like, my wife and I are just praying that my son doesn't, you know, wake my daughter up. Like, cause he like jumps and like runs everywhere. And like, so he does this thing called the Gritty. Have you ever seen it before?
No.
Oh, so it's the guys when they jump on, like hop on like one leg and they do the dance and they go like this and they go.
No, I haven't seen that. Geez. Or maybe I have and I just don't know.
So it's called? The Gritty. So Justin Jefferson does it. So, I mean, I don't have enough room back here. I can't do it. Actually, I might be able to do it. Hold on. I'll see if I can do it. So he literally just jumps. So he goes like this. He goes, hold on. Like this.
Okay. Just, yeah. Yep.
So he dances like that the whole time. And like, he makes so much noise. It's insane.
Stomps.
Yeah. And like, but he does, I mean, he's really good at it. So, I mean, I'll give him that, but it's like, gosh, don't wake Sydney up. Don't do it. Please don't wake her up. And then all of a sudden, like I'm ready about to bring him to school or something like that. Or like, you know, bring him downstairs. She's like, daddy. And I'm like, oh, I was like, okay. Guess everyone's up.
Does that mean that's just like kind of more work for you if the mm-hmm. two of them are up? Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Because the main thing is like my wife's still sleeping. It's because I'm in the spare bedroom because I snore. So
that's right.
And so I try to like be like really quiet, like walking down the and we got hardwood floors through like the whole like first floor, and it's like getting warmer out. So it's like the wood stretching. So like literally like every step I'm taking, you hear the creaking noises and stuff like that. And I'm just like, and then Bennett's like screaming or like running. Like I think he has ADD or something like that, but he's like sprinting back and forth in the living room. I'm like, Bennett, no, my room now. And then like my daughter's
just like to be up.
Yeah. And my daughter is just like yelling too. And I'm like, I literally just throw him in the room and just have him put on like YouTube Kids. And I'm like, just be quiet.
Just give me an hour.
Yeah. I'm like, just give my wife an hour. She's like up to like midnight and stuff like that. Like, it's funny because we're complete opposites when it comes to sleeping. Cause like I'll go mm-hmm. to bed early, no problem. Like 10 o'clock. She'll be up at like 1 o'clock in the morning, like watching TV. And I can't do that. Like I can't.
It's like her probably just her time to decompress.
Yeah. True.
Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. So, did you hear the news about, what CrossFit is doing
with the
layoffs?
Yeah, I saw that, but I mean, I don't know really any details about it.
Yeah, so supposedly 20% of the whole company is getting cut.
And do they have, like, they didn't really announce who or, like, which departments,
nope.
really?
No, but supposedly Don Fall said it was not going to affect like the semifinals or anything like that.
Interesting. Did you have thoughts about that, like originally, that it could affect kind of the game side of it?
I thought so. I mean, because like you don't know, like it might be like one of the higher level guys of like a certain department that kind of branches off into like another department that actually affects, you know, the games or semifinals or like the judging or anything like that. Like it's always like, you know, it always branches out. And I've actually noticed like in the recruiting world where a lot of companies are letting people go, like thousands of people. And so because they're like just I don't know if they call it trimming the fat, but they just don't have the budget for, right, you know, for more people to come in. And so I don't know, maybe it's just because like everything's going up in prices that they had to like start cutting ties or something like that. I don't know, right. But if he says it's not going to affect semifinals or the games, I'm like, I'm crossing my fingers it doesn't, but we'll see what happens.
I feel like fingers crossed, but I hope that there is not another like last minute change. Like, you know, when Glassman's like, let's bring in all these national champions, like that kind of stuff, you know, when it was just like, where did this come from? Why is this an announcement? Why are we doing this? Why is this happening?
Yeah.
Every year has changed, and it's like, for the love of God, like let's have one consistent year like one year to the next and see what happens. Mm-hmm. Even in like my college days when I was playing ice hockey, I had a coach change almost every single year, and it was like, it is so hard to keep up because you are constantly having to like either learn a new system or just learn the new dynamic with a coach and things like that, whether it was a coach or an assistant coach. And it's like, it gets exhausting. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, kind of looking back at these last 2 years or 3 years, they finally have had what looks to be like a consistent coaching staff. And here they are winning a national championship and kind of falling short by one game in 2 years. Like, it's just incredible to see that, like, okay, what happens when you have the consistency and, you know, you get the players comfortable like that. And then that's where you see, you know, things happen.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. My concern is like, I don't know. I mean, I hope nothing happens to semifinals at all. I mean, that's the main thing, especially with like judging and stuff like that.
Yeah. So I feel like we're too close for that to happen at this point, right? Like we're 3 weeks away. So, I mean, that would cause, I think, a big riff if they were to make any changes. Mm-hmm. So,
well, the crazy thing is most of these judges are all volunteers anyway.
Yeah. Right. Right.
They definitely should get paid. So, the thing is I've heard that like a lot of the like if they're volunteering, they're like literally like spending thousands of dollars just to hotel rooms, traveling, mm-hmm. whatever. And then like they get burnt out and they just, maybe some people don't even show up, you know?
Yeah. That's interesting. I guess I don't really know the backside, like logistics of what it is like to be a volunteer or just to be a judge at one of these higher level, not even like one of these like CrossFit sanctioned, you know, semifinals or regionals when it was that. I don't really know like the backside of that. I do know, like, I've heard some good and bad things about like being a judge at Wadapalooza and all that, but that's kind of a different entity.
Yeah. You get a free pair of shoes.
Woo. Probably a t-shirt.
Yeah. You got a t-shirt that says judge. sign me up. So
the people that do it, I guess they do it for the love of it. Right. Like some of us, like myself personally, like I don't coach because I'm making $1 million. Coach because I love to see people get better. I love to see, you know, athletes improving, not just fitness, but, you know, within their overall daily lives.
Yeah.
So
you're not loaded? You're not loaded because you're coaching?
No, I wish.
So with the new semifinals, way they're doing it with like the East and West and stuff like that, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I guess thinking back to college, I've had to kind of roll with the punches every time there's a change, right? So I don't know. It looks like North America is just a stacked field, no matter which way you split it, like any region, any way you cut it up, it's probably going to be a stacked roster no matter what. Mm-hmm. So you know, you just like, I can't control what the other 59 girls are doing. I can control what I'm doing. And am I in one of the stacked fields? Yes, I am. So, but I also know that I'm part of that stacked field. So the way I look at others, you know, others are also looking at me. So, you know, that's kind of one of those things that I have to continue to remind myself is I have a lot of experience at this stage of the game. And to use that to my advantage and to be confident in that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So, do you have like a game plan of like, are you showing up there like a couple days earlier or like, how is that whole process going to work?
Yeah. So, you know, getting my coaching schedule all rearranged and all that stuff. We have, some really great coaches back home to be able to kind of fill in the blanks where we need it. So I will go out on Tuesday. And then Wednesday will kind of be like a freebie day. Like it's just, you know, Wednesday, there's nothing going on there. And then Thursday's registration. It'll also be like a primer day. So I'll, you know, hit some fitness and stuff like that. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you know, it's head down and compete. And Monday I'll come right back home.
Nice. Nice. So yeah, do you have a hotel room that's close to the convention center?
Yeah, so I actually found a place on Airbnb. It was like big enough to fit like 10 people. There's 6 of us that are staying in a room or staying in a house. And then that place actually, like last week, they just like immediately like canceled on me for no reason. Like they didn't really give a reason. So I had to go on and find a new place. So I found a place on VRBO that was actually cheaper. And looks like the place was a little bit nicer. The amenities were nicer. So we're about a mile away.
Oh, that's not bad. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and a lot of it is within walking distance, but I think my mom wants to get a rental car too. So I already ordered a rental car, got us a nice little minivan so we can, you know, be, you know, all fancy driving around. So, yeah.
So is the minivan getting prepared for like later on in life? So you can get like with the kids and stuff like that.
I will not drive a minivan. Hell no. If he wants to get me like a Suburban or something like that, I'm in.
Yeah. My parents used to drive a mini. Well, actually, my mom used to drive a minivan and
my
I'm
mom
like,
too.
I'm like, oh my God, this thing's awful. So, I mean, we had 4 kids. So, I mean, you really had no choice to get something
like
that.
Yeah, true. I mean, minivans are like, they're decked out, like they have space, but I will not drive a minivan.
They're not cool. So I remember
unless
seeing,
you're rolling up to semifinals, then they're cool.
Yeah, true. Well, I mean, I remember seeing a commercial of a minivan. I think it was a Chrysler minivan where like this like purple like lights and smoke were coming out of the side, and all of a sudden like the door opened and like it was a flash of like a 3D animation like Panther on there, like trying to make it look sexy, and I'm like, it's not working. It's
can't. Not working.
Yeah. And then I saw my neighbor have it, so, and I'm like, okay, it worked for you then.
Sold. All right.
I was like, I can't do it. I can't.
What do you guys drive?
So my wife drives a 2022 Ford Bronco.
Nice. Is it like the original? Like there's different versions of the Bronco.
Yeah.
Right?
So she has the Outer Banks version. So it's kind of like it's almost like a beachcomber kind of deal.
Yeah.
Where like the bigger tires. Like the sun, like the, she's got like a light bar on it, and then it's like all like canvas, you know, a canvas top on it. And
that's cool.
And the one problem is the light bar is just making like the canvas like flap everywhere because of the wind. Cause it goes underneath and like makes like a, like literally everything starts hitting
the
each
sound.
Other.
Yeah.
And it's like so annoying. And I'm sitting there like, I don't even want to like drive in this thing. That's why I always say like, oh, I'll drive. So,
yeah.
And I
what
have
do you
a,
drive?
So I drive a, was it a 2022 Ford Maverick?
Okay.
So it's,
wait, Maverick is the EV?
No. So
no,
it's,
no, no. It's a truck.
Yeah. It's a truck. It's like they call it the F50. It's not the F-150. Yeah. It's the F50. So it's like a 4-cylinder, you know, pickup truck that it has a crew cab, and it's like, it works. I love the thing. I like, you know, we take long trips down to Florida like all the time in that thing, and like literally pack the whole pack the whole like bed up. Yeah. And it's nice. You know, throw my gym bag in there and my shoes because they stink. And so it's just like, can it air it out? And
just
you
just constantly airs out. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I don't want, because originally I had a Nissan Frontier and I kept my bag and my shoes in the truck and it just stunk of like, just, it was so bad. I was like trying to air it out, but I'm like at work in the parking lot. I'm like, I'm not sticking this stuff out in the parking lot. And so I'm just, it's stuck in there and it's like 80, 90 degrees in the car. And so you could just
that's not pleasant.
No. So it's like, my wife's like, you got to get something else. This is terrible. So I got that. So I'm happy. You know, that's probably going to be my son's car when he gets older. So
yeah. How old is your son?
He's 7.
No, he's got a long time.
Yeah. Trust me. I'm going to keep that truck for a very, very long time.
So. We've had a 2009 Honda CRV since 2009 and it still works. I don't even know how many thousands of miles it has, a couple hundred. It's like on its last leg, but like we have that and we have a 2014 Honda CRV. Like I don't know why, like I will drive a Honda CRV for the rest of my life. I love how reliable they are. But my brother has those now. And when COVID, or like shortly after COVID, he's a state trooper and he was stationed in a county that's like an hour and a half away. Mm-hmm. So he always wanted to drive the beater. So he always drove one of those cars. And eventually he sold me he has a Hyundai Santa Fe. It was a 2020. So this was back then, like a year later. He's like, I'll sell it to you for the price that I owe on it. So I took that off of him. So now that's my car. Yeah. Nice. So, but he finally got stationed like locally. So he's going to finally probably look for a new car soon.
He should look for the Maverick. So they're reasonably priced. So
yeah, he's changed his car so often. It's actually not even funny. Like he's constantly trading it in for something else. I'm like, you might as well just lease it. Like just lease a car because then you get to change it every 1 or 2 years. Mm-hmm. He's had a Nissan. Is the Frontier the truck?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. He's had that before. He's had a Volvo, like, and now I don't know what he'll get next. I have no idea. He's too unpredictable.
Yeah. I had to move to a pickup truck because I was working for like a roofing company for a little while. And so I had this Ford 500, which is like almost like a Ford Taurus. And mm-hmm. I was like literally throwing this like fold up, like this fold up ladder in there. So what I would do is I would like put one of the back seats down, throw the ladder in there, and it just sits back there. And I'm like, whatever. And my kid's like in the middle seat and he's like playing with it. And he's like, hey, look at this thing. This thing's cool. But like, yeah, it was like tearing up the cloth in the back of the seat and stuff like that. And then the car shit the bed and I'm like, okay, I got to get something else. And so literally got the Nissan Frontier and I'm like, I want a pickup truck. I don't want anything else.
Yeah. So. They're versatile.
Yeah.
They're handy.
It was a 4x4. It was high. It literally like from my work to home, it was like almost like a quarter of a tank of gas both ways. Like one way and back. Yikes. It was a quarter. I was just like, yeah, this has got to go. Yeah. So.
Guzzlers.
Yeah, no bueno. So, and it was like crazy because like, I think I paid like, I think it was like, I think I took money out of retirement account. It was like 10 grand. I went to, what was it? What was that company called? It was like a company, it was a car buyback place. And
Carvana?
So, yeah, it was like one of those places. It was like, yeah. And so literally I got like 9,900 out of it. So like literally just only spent $100 on it for returned. It was like a year and a half later.
That's nice. Yeah. We actually sold Ben's old car on Carvana and he got a pretty good chunk of change for it, which we were surprised. So that's actually good. Like, and they come pick it up for you. Like you don't have to do anything. You sign a paper.
Yep. And like, just, they'll say, they'll give you a check. Like, here you go. See you later.
Yeah. Right.
So, but mine was, I got the title and I guess I lost it or something like that. And so I had to get a new title. So I went to the title dealership and they're like, how many miles do you have in your truck? And I'm like, I don't know, like 133,000. And they're like, okay. So they put it on there and the odometer was, I think like 10 or 20 miles less. And so I had to drive around the Carvana lot.
Oh my gosh, for 20 miles.
Yes. So like literally I was like listening to a podcast and like, I think this was like exactly when like Dave Castro got fired too. Cause that's when like Savon did the podcast. So I'm like literally driving like a mile around, like 20 laps around. And my wife's like so pissed. She's just like, I've been waiting here for like 45 minutes just for you to get to finish this. And I was like, sorry, I you know, I can't help it. My bad.
Right.
So it was, it, whatever, it happens. But
that's funny.
Yeah, it's the craziest things that I've done. It's insane. But anyway, so with semifinals, finals, so what's the cutoff before people go to the, is it like 12 or, because I know, I think they said, didn't they say like, if it was like a more of like a bigger stacked field, they'll let more people in. So what's the cutoff for the East Coast?
So East is, they have their equation that they use for, I think they start with the 2020 games or 2021 quarterfinals. I don't remember, or open. I don't remember where they have like their starting point for the equation that they use, but they were, the prediction was going to be somewhere in like the 10 to 13 range for North America East, which it ended up being 11. So top 11 will go to the games.
Okay. So what is your goal? I obviously go to the games is the most important thing, but like, do you have like a set, like, you know, goal that you like, what place you want to hit there at all?
Not really. Like it's, you know, obviously like my goal is to qualify in the top 11, like whether it's first or 11th, like the goal is the goal. It's hard to, you know, it's hard to predict against a field of athletes. Like I haven't competed against, except whether it's at the games, really at the games, I haven't really competed against a lot of the girls that are in like this roster, like maybe, you know, 2 years ago or whatnot, but like, a lot happens within a year or 2 years of progress for anybody. So it's like, it's hard to predict where you're going to sit in a specific field of athletes. When I was at semifinals last year, like my goal was to be top five in every event. So that was kind of like a way of, you know, I know maybe first place isn't in the cards or fifth place or whatever it is. Like, I didn't care if it was first, second, third, fourth, or fifth. I, you know, my goal is to be top five in all the events. And I knew that that would be enough to qualify. I had three events in the top five, three events where I was eighth. So overall, the consistency was there. And that's my main goal when I'm like getting, when I get to semifinals, is to be as consistently high on the leaderboard as I can. So not a particular placement. I don't think that kind of pressure is necessary to put on myself, but, I think, you know, at this point, people know that I am a competitor and that I am a threat on that field, and that's really all that matters. So yeah, I am consistently looking to be as high as I can on leaderboard for every event. That's it.
Yeah. And you don't want to be 11th too, because the whole time you're like, oh shit.
That's pressure.
It's like even more pressure. Cause you're like getting close to the end and it's just like, okay, I really need to send it on this thing. And then like you blow up and then like, you know, whatever else happens, you know, it's just a dumpster fire.
Right. Like that's definitely, you know, part of it too, is you don't want it to come down to the last event. Like you want it, I want it to be a guaranteed I'm in that top 11.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can't predict how other people are going to, you know, play, how the program is going to kind of affect it. So there's just too many unknowns.
Yeah. So what do you think of all these like 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds like coming into the female category?
I'm just here to keep the average age from dropping too low. Okay. I'm 31. I'll be 32 if I make it, you know, when I make it to the games this year. So it's like, I think it's really awesome. Like, you know, in the grand scheme of it, take the competitor out of me. I think it's so cool to see, you know, just how skilled these athletes are. But I also, you know, on my side of it, like I'm at that upper age of like, I'm pushing, you know, I have to do a lot more things to stay healthy probably than they do. Mm-hmm. So, just, it's a balancing act, and it's, you know, the way, you know, a 19-year-old recovers is not the way a 31-year-old recovers. So there's a lot of, you know, there's been a lot of wisdom gained in all these years too. So a lot of learning lessons and figuring out what works and what doesn't and what keeps me healthy.
Yeah. It's pretty much all they need to do is like pick up a barbell and just do the movement, and then they're good to go. It's insane.
They're like, here, it's 200 pounds. Okay. And me, I'm like, all right, hold on. I'll start at my 65 pounds and I will work my way up.
Yeah, that's me. Like, it's so like, because what I do for the programming for Misfit, I'll do the accessory work as a warm up.
Okay.
And then after that, then I'll start doing some of the lifts or whatever, and then kind of go from there, and then do the Metcon after. It's like, I would love to do bitch work, but I don't have, it's just too much time. Like, I can't, I only have like a certain time to train and stuff, but like, that's my warm up is the accessory work.
Yeah. We, so for me, ever since they kind of introduced the 15-minute sweat checks, which really, I think started with, you know, when they really started getting people into doing the Maffetone sessions the way that they're meant to be done, kind of without the skill work that's involved, right? Like when we would do, all right, 45 minutes on a machine at a forever pace, but every 5 minutes you'd hop off and do a smooth set of strict handstand pushups. Like once they got people to actually buy into doing just the Maffetone and just getting on a machine for 45 minutes straight, introducing the 15 minutes of just building the heart rate, I do not go a training session without 12 to 15 minutes on a machine. Like I just, it's become such a non-negotiable now that I know for a fact that that is why, number one, my training sessions will go well, but number two, that I'm also maintaining and staying healthy and keeping, you know, longevity in the sport, you know, up there for me. So, every event at a competition, every, you know, the however many events I did at Wodapalooza, everything involved the sweat check, no matter what.
Yeah.
So I try to get my athletes to buy into that. And it's hard because, like you said, like time is of the essence. You only have so much time in your training session. But for me, like nothing beats warming up. Like you can't, it's not a shortcut that I think is okay to take. Any shortcut isn't, but that's just one of them that, like, if you're not warming up, you're not going to have as great of a session as you can.
True. I mean, and then like you get like you're in like the fourth or fifth set of like a workout, and then you're starting to feel like really good because you're officially warmed up now. So,
that's those 4 a.m. feels right there.
Yeah, like there's been times like I get up and I'm like, ooh, this is gonna be rough, and like especially with like the three sets of 12 back squats.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, all right, I gotta like just slowly work my way, and, like, just because I'm 43, so it's less like it's even harder for me compared to you.
Yeah, I get it.
And so it's just like, oh God, like just slowly just go down and hold the bottom position for a little while, and like just do whatever you can to stretch out and stuff.
Yeah. Do you talk to people in Discord? Are you on the app with the Misfit Athletics community?
I try. It's.
Okay. I'm just curious.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So I try, but it's like really hard because it's, once again, it's time, because like I have you know, work. I'm like literally on the phone. Yeah. Kids. Excuse me. And then I literally have I literally have to call people on the phone for if they want a job or if they're looking for a job. And so it's just like the Discord, like I literally have the Discord notifications pop up like once in a while.
Oh my God. Nuts. So,
it's like all the time. It's like rapid fire. So it's just like,
I know.
It's like, oh wait, did someone text me? No, it's Discord. Okay. So,
but, which is a, you know, a problem that I don't hate to see, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That it is an active community and it's pretty neat.
Yeah.
But I mean, a lot of people, kind of the reason I was bringing it up is, you know, that has been a way that we've seen people hold each other accountable. Like, did you do 3 minutes of an overhead squat hold? Did you, you know, sit in the bottom of a squat for 5 minutes today? Did you take an ice bath? Like, so it's just kind of neat. Like, there's two ways you could go about that, right? Like, either it motivates you to go do it, or it stresses you out because you want to go do it, but you're not going to go do it. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I could see there's two ways to look at that.
And then I could see people stressing out, so they kind of like lie about their numbers and stuff.
There's that too.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, the last time I posted was, I think it was last Friday, I think. It was like the echo bike, like as fast as you can for like 20 seconds. And then you do like, like the whatever break you had. And I was like hitting like 1300. throughout the 20, because I'm 6'6", so it's not that hard. So, but like,
just it took, rip on it.
Yeah. I was going ham on that thing. And then like, it took me like 3 minutes to recover to go back on it again. So I'm like, should I have gone a little slower and like less time to rest or whatever. But then like all the weightlifting numbers, they're pretty high up there. So it's just like, I'm not trying to like make myself a big head or anything like that, but I just don't want people to just be like, holy cow, this guy's lifting this. And then like, I should be lifting that or whatever.
Well, I think, okay. So if you, just to kind of play devil's advocate, like we actually, you know, just was looking at some stuff about this today. Like you are showing people what is possible.
True.
Like, so like, I just remember seeing a story from Alexis, MF athlete, Alexis Johnson, and she was saying, she showed a picture of a piece in her Excel sheet, a training piece of like a skiing interval, and it said pacing beat Carol, so Caroline Connors, Caroline Spencer, yeah. Who is a fiend at skiing, like she's got great pacing on it, and Alexis was saying how that's like reading that is something that can feel defeating, but ultimately she uses it from a perspective of, well, okay, so Caroline's pacing is here. A year ago my pacing was here, but now it's here. So this is me closing the gap and seeing the progress that I'm making to what I know is possible.
Yeah.
So I think if you kind of shift the perspective of that, it's a lot more rewarding and can make, I don't know, possibly make you feel less like you are making other people feel down, if that makes sense.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
So just, you know, throw those numbers out there, throw those, you know, people are going to show you gymnastics sets and you're going to be like, fuck, I can't do that.
Oh, I can't. Yeah. That's another thing. I suck at them so bad. Like,
right.
I haven't done handstand walks in like almost like a couple months. And like, I just did it yesterday and I was like maybe 3/4 of what I can do. And I'm like sitting there like, this is awful. This is so
bad. A
little
defeating.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's there to show you what's possible, right? Matt Fraser is the fittest man on earth, and he is showing us what is, like, what people are capable of. And, like, that's, mm-hmm. you know, I just think it's a little bit of a different perspective on it.
Yeah. And plus, like, with my size doing, like, chest to bar pull-ups, like, one chest to bar is, like, two for, like, you or, like, somebody else that's shorter. So it's, like...
Yes, it is. Like, our cycle time is going to be a little bit faster.
I'm, like, I literally got to, like touch the end of the bar just to kind of just keep on going and stuff like that, just to catch up to you guys. It's just so hard. So even handstand push-ups, it's just, like, it takes, like, a minute just for me to do one rep.
Just get up to... Yeah, I get it.
Or even wall walks, too.
That's gotta be rough.
Yeah. When the wall walks first happened and came in, I think I was talking to, I was watching the live feed for the Misfit Athletics when like Sherb and I think Hunter were training. And then, and I was just like, I am so screwed on this. And like, and Drew's like, yes, you are, Tom. He said that on the live stream. And then Ted's like, and Ted, oh, what happened? Hold on. What happened?
I don't know.
Oh, my fate. There you are. Sorry. My GoPro just shit the bed. So awesome.
That's all right.
Anyway, so like literally like Ted was just like, oh, you'll be fine. And Drew's like, no, he's not. Cause I'm sorry. He's not gonna be fine. And I'm like,
they to chirp every once in a while.
Oh yeah. Which I'm perfectly fine about, which is whatever it happens. So yeah, it's just like, okay, I need to work on all this stuff to get better. And so, and that's what I'm trying to do too. So it's not like, you know, I'm just focusing on just like the heavier weights or whatnot. You know, it's, mm-hmm. it's all just, you know, I got to do everything. That's why I do the all around, you know, portion of the Misfit.
Yeah, I get it.
So, but we're getting close to the end because I got to get up stupid early. So
okay. Yeah, you do.
Yes.
I'm actually, it's funny because I messaged you about changing time schedules because I had to be up early today. I have to be up early tomorrow too. So
oh, boo.
Yeah, that's okay.
Well, you could text me later, just like when you wake up, like, hey, I'm awake. So
I will. I'll do that.
Awesome. So I obviously we did listener questions last year. Mm-hmm. So do you have, I know the goals are the CrossFit Games or anything like that. So do you have any personal goals that you want to reach by the end of the year?
Yeah. So after, you know, last year being at the games, kind of debriefing with my coach, like, you know, looking at some of the events and stuff like that and looking back on it and being able to make those changes throughout this year of training, like, you know, there's no reason that the top 15 is out of the question at the games, or, you know, top 12 or, you know, top 10, like all those things are within reach, you know, with just a few adjustments and training and, you know, just kind of still buying in and committing to the process of it. So number one, the goal is to get back to the CrossFit Games first. And then from there, like, dial it in and get into that top 15. Like, I think that would just be, So kind of when Gabe had said that, I was like, he's right. Like, why am I not, you know, like wearing that confidence? Why am I not wearing that belief in myself? And I started to, and then it's like, you know, kind of sharing things in Discord with other athletes and just, you know, sharing scores or whatever it is. But it's like, you know, I have to remind myself that, like, in Discord, in that community, that, like, I am one of those games athletes that people are looking up to. And that matters. Like, that confidence is there. Like, it's, you know, just one of those things that I need to kind of be more expressive about, I guess, because, you know, I'm not a flashy person on social media. I'm not, like, that's just never really, you know, kind of been a big thing for me. You know, my value is just in putting in that hard work, whether it's in the shadows or, you know, on, you know, in the spotlight, whatever it is. So
yeah, you don't want to be Luca with his scores on the machines.
Yeah, I know, right? I haven't seen Luca in a long time. I don't know what he's up to.
Well, he's probably killing it. So yeah,
I know he's definitely head down in the shadows right now too.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I'll be looking forward to that.
So do you have a favorite, do you have a book that you are reading right now at all?
I have been reading some, like, fictional books. So people are probably going to think this is kind of a goofy thing, but these are, Serena Valentino came out with these villains books, like Disney villains. So I'm kind of in the middle of those, but those are more of, like, fictional that I'll read before bed. I had two books that I haven't gotten into yet. Actually sitting here on my desk. One is called The Big Leap, and this was recommended by a friend of mine over at our gym. And then this was recommended by my coach, Gabe, The Power of Now. And he said, when the time is right, you'll know when to start reading that book. So it's actually kind of, you know, ironic that you're asking, because the last couple of days I've been kind of looking at these and I'm like, I feel like the time is now, like, I'm probably going to start reading it soon.
Yeah.
But I haven't dug into those yet. So those are going to be my next ones.
Yeah.
But lately I've been doing, like, I like to listen to podcasts. Most of them are either, like, a Misfit Athletics podcast. Again, I'm not biased or anything. Or, like, if I'm out on, like, a road trip, like going up to Maine or going to wherever, Ben and I listen to, like, these cinematic podcast, so it's like a movie but in a podcast form. We get into those kinds a lot. There's a podcast company called Q Code that has a lot of them, so if anyone's interested in something like that, Q Code.
Okay So yeah. Do you like those, like, murder mystery, like serial killer kind of stuff?
I do.
Why do all girls like that?
I don't know. I love Law and Order, SVU, Law and Order, like, all of that. I love Criminal Minds, Blue Bloods. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I could sit and binge watch a whole season of it easily.
Is it because you're trying to find ways, if Ben does something to you, he could just find ways of just to kill him off?
No, I actually do it so I can, you know, if any of my friends ever need help, you know, they have help.
Gotcha. is there anything new in your gym bag at all, or?
No. So let me think. Not really. I recently, actually, RX Mark here did send me out some of the the beaded rope.
Okay.
And they sent me like a new Evo Go rope, which is really awesome. So that was kind of a surprise. I asked them, like, you know, if I could possibly get anything. And then they sent me, in addition to that, some of the Alex Smith gymnastics grips, but they're like fingerless and they don't have anywhere, like they just flap down. So I haven't gotten myself to try them out yet because I like victory grips a lot.
I was just going to say that. I was wondering, I'm like, are you going to verge away from victory grips?
No, I don't know if I can. You know, you get so used to something and it works. Like why try to change it at that point?
Yeah.
So nothing totally new.
Okay. Okay.
What about you? Anything new that you've been like really liking?
Glucose tabs, for my low blood sugar. always have to restock those. I got a tripod. So I originally was like trying to use the GoPro to do like vlogging at the gym, because there's mm-hmm. times I'm at the gym and there's like nobody there. And so I'm like, maybe I'll do a vlog or something like that. So I use a tripod for like posting, you know, my lifts or just like recording my lifts and stuff like that. Let's see what else. I think that's, oh yeah. And a timer. So I got like this like little hand timer. Mm-hmm. It's like probably like that big. And
is it like a magnetic? It can stick to the rig. Yeah. It was like, those are pretty sweet.
It was like $50 and I was just like, all right, whatever. I'll just try it out. I love it. Things great.
Yeah. So yeah, that comes in handy, especially if like you're in a 24-hour kind of place, like, you know, can't all use the clock at the same time.
No, I mean, either that I'll use my phone or something like that, but I'm like, well, I'm going to want to videotape this. So I got to figure out something else to use. Yeah. So that's it. So, I mean, that's the really the only two things that I had. So, but, yeah, that's really it. So I'm pretty boring. So,
yeah, same. Yeah. I don't change a lot of things if I don't need to.
Yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
So, all right. So the last question. So where can people reach out to you if they have any questions regarding, like, you know, remote coaching, joining Misfit, you know, maybe going to semifinals of the games? Where can they reach out to you?
Yeah. So they can reach me at Paige_Semenza on Instagram. That's my handle. If they want to reach out, I mean, they can ask me anything on there, whether it's Misfit related, semis related. If they wanted to get contact, I could send them contact information for like Misfit Athletics remote coaching. Mm-hmm. I'd be happy to do that. And then they would be directed over to someone with Misfit Athletics. So Jen does a lot of the behind the scenes stuff. And I would direct them over to her and get them on the list. There is awesome. A wait list for remote coaching. So, you know, that's kind of the other thing of like, when I hear that, like, I want to take on another athlete, but, you know, again, I want to be able to give them the time that they deserve when it comes to remote coaching, because they deserve the attention. And,
yeah,
you know, I don't want to not give that. Yeah. So
That's after the games.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I have a good group of athletes right now, though, and they are super, like, you know, they want to get to this level too. So they understand that there are kind of, you know, some checks and balances when it comes to certain times of the year. They're like, you know, semifinals, like I won't be communicating with them as much, you mm-hmm. know? So there are times of the year where there's an understanding there, and they're, you know, I tell them ahead of time as well. So it's communicated. So yeah, that's that. If you want to head over to sharpentheaxe.co.com to get some clothes, you can use code PAGE. If you want to head over to properfuel.co.com for some of the best supplements in the game, that's another one. You can use code PAGE.
Mm-hmm. I'm wearing the Misfit Athletic Slate shorts. So these things are the best.
Yeah, like a lot of people like them.
Yeah, I don't. So to be honest with you, like I have like a couple of Nike shorts, and like all I wear is like Misfit Athletic shorts. That's that's it. Like, yep. That's it.
I'm super excited. Like, you know, the men's side is all figured out, but like women, like we can be, you know, all over the place when it comes to leggings, like material, all that kind of stuff. And last I had spoke with Jen, she was saying that they're coming out with some stuff for semifinals. Nice. With leggings and stuff. So I'm excited.
Now, yeah. Can you tell Jen to get the coach's pants a little bit longer, so like people like 6'6" can wear them?
Oh, so, well, you just got to wear the high socks so that they are like right at are still too long.
They're still too short. Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Like I got the maroon ones. So real quick, sorry, I got the maroon ones and I put them on and I'm like, oh, these are really short. And I go to my wife, I'm like, what do you think about these? And she's like, absolutely not. Like, these are way too short for you. And like,
so they're just like 3/4 pants.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can't,
that's a thing.
I can't pull that off. I can't pull that off. So
all right, that's fair.
Just tell her to make them a little bit longer.
So, they're going to have to come out with a special sizing for you.
I know. Well, even the joggers too, like I'll wear them and it's almost looks like spandex on me. Like it's hilarious because like I went to a soccer game and I had the blue joggers on and my wife's like, those are really, really short on you. Like
those
really, really
there.
Tight. Those are really tight. And I'm like, yeah, but I really like them though. And she's like, yeah, you either got to pull them up a little bit or hinge them down or do both. Like you can't, like you can't both. Go. Yeah. You can't go out in public with that thing. So.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Yeah. So, I mean, actually, are you going to Misfit Camp at all or
I'm not sure.
Okay.
So I haven't talked to Jen or Drew or anybody yet. There will be like a Misfit like mock games week for the athletes in general. And I think that comes after camp. But we also our gym at home, our owner, there's a big vacation that they're taking the Turks and Caicos and that will be, I think, right around that time.
Okay.
So I don't know if I can balance both because I will have to take like
more classes,
some extra responsibilities here. Yeah. So I haven't gone that far yet. I'm like, when it comes to the game season, I'm really not good at planning things out further than what comes next. So like, I'm not past semifinals yet. Like I haven't committed to anything past that yet because it could change. Like if I make the games, when I make the games.
Yes. Yes. True. Yes.
Like trying to plan a vacation or anything after that. Like that's not the priority. Like planning for the games is the priority. And then if there's time to be able to squeeze something else in, then that will come in. But if I weren't to make the games, like that kind of opens up these next couple of months. So like semifinals, that's where we're at.
Yep. Awesome. well thank you for coming on the show. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah,
you know,
thanks, Tom.
You know, just shooting the breeze and you know, make sure you tell Ben that you need to get those daily massages and those certain areas that you need help on. So
well, thank you so much for having me. You're always a pleasure to talk with.
Awesome. We'll talk to you later. Okay.
All right. See ya.
Bye.